I'm fresh out. Yeah, no doubt. I'm fresh out.
WBGO Newark, you are listening to In the Blues Break on WBGO. We've been on the radio twice as long as you've been alive. What's funny is I'm reading in your bio so much about, oh, I've been wanting to do this for years or for that for years, and you're like 20.
Right.
So
right.
For years, we're talking about when you were a kid, you were already wanting to do all these things that you're doing.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Most definitely. I didn't think it was going to come this early.
Well, how did it come this early? How did you learn? I mean, a lot of it was self-taught, what you've done.
Yeah, I was in the Delta Blues Museum back home, the arts and education program under Richard Chrisman and Bill Howland, Matt Perry, and Anthony B.A. Sherrod, some of the local bluesmen back home in Mississippi who taught me. And not only that, I started playing bass, and then I started gigging around town. And then I started playing guitar, and I started helping out leading a band. And then shortly after, I started leading my own band, and we just took off, and now I'm here. So,
and you were a kid. You were a teenager.
Yes, sir.
And playing in a lot of roadhouses, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like all the juke joints around town and soul clubs and everything.
Clarksdale.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about Clarksdale, because Clarksdale is like ground zero for the blues.
Right, right.
In so many ways.
Yeah, that's like the blues mecca, you know. Muddy came through there. Robert came through there. Robert Nighthawk came through there. Like it's a really national blues treasure, and I was exposed to that from an early age because I lived right next to a blues band, so I would hear them practice and play, and you know, and them play like soul, southern soul tunes all night, and they would let me come over there to their house parties, and they would just play blues right in front of me, and no questions asked. It was awesome, really awesome.
Not that far from the Mississippi, right?
Yeah, not that far. Not that far. I stayed like right over the levee from it.
And then you just go not that far up the river and you're in Memphis.
Exactly. Exactly.
And not that far south, you're in New Orleans.
Yep. Like 8 hours south, most definitely.
A lot closer to Memphis.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, like it was like 30 minutes away from Memphis.
So you went up there and played gigs and went up there and
hung out. I used to go up there on Beale Street and just hang out with some of the bands that was busking. So I would go up there sometimes and just play and be exposed to some of the atmosphere up there as well.
So it's not just that there are these joints that where everybody's playing, but there's cats playing in the street.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you learned from all of them.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. I grabbed a little piece from all of them. What I was learning from Mr. Guy, just sitting down, just talking to him. He taught me a lot about the record industry and stuff, and that's more confidential stuff. And then I used to watch him on stage and just learn from him every night because he puts on a show and he really shows you how to be a performer and entertainer and et cetera, et cetera.
But did he go like? So if you want to do this B flat, you can do this fingering over, and you know, I mean, sure.
Oh, no, no.
You didn't do any of that?
No, it wasn't nothing like that.
If you move your thumb over this way, it'll do that?
Nah. It was more on the business side of things.
The business side and the life side.
Yes, sir.
Well, you have to learn about being on the road.
Right.
I mean, when you're a teenager, you're going on the road.
Right. Yes, sir.
And your family, that was cool?
Oh, yeah. My mom comes with me. My dad lives separately, so he really didn't care. But, you know, my mom comes with me, so, yeah. My family, who is religious, on my mom's side, where I got all the music stuff from, they kind of was uneasy about it at first, but they kind of grew into
the devil's music.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. All the old school people, you know. But
it's not that far away.
Your blues and gospel are just alike, you know. Just one, you know, secular, you know, and the other one sacred, you know.
Well, let's you have your axe, as they used to be called, with you. You want to play something?
Sure. Talking to my neighbors, talking to my friends. Everybody's hurting. When's it gonna end? Hard times. talking about hard time. If it wasn't for my woman, I think I'd lose my mind.
Chris Stone, Kingfish, Ingram, with me on WBGO in the Blues Break. And you're on tour, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. We're doing like a short East Coast stint.
Memphis, you're going back to. And then, I mean, how much, where do you live now?
I live in Friars Point, Mississippi. It's a town like just a little bit out of Clarksdale, a little small community, kind of like a river town.
Does Morgan Freeman still have a joint down there?
Yeah, he still owns half of Ground Zero in Clarksdale, I believe. He comes down there ever so often.
How much? There's a scene. You were saying there's people playing in the street. I mean, how many joints? I mean, you said it was the Mecca. It really is. I mean,
yeah. It's not like it used to be, because some of the joints have closed down, like the ones I was playing in when I was younger. But Ground Zero is still kicking. And the infamous Reds is still kicking as well. That's the real deal juke joint. It's most likely. That's the one that's been around for a long time. So that's the one that Big Jack Johnson and Wesley Jefferson and everybody used to come through.
A question you're going to be asked, you probably already have been asked about 1,000 times, but you will be even more. Where'd Kingfish come from?
Oh, one of my mentors, Bill Howland, Matt Perry, from the Delta Blues Museum program. He gave me the name. He used to give all the kids in class like little nicknames. We used to think of them as stage names. And he gave me Kingfish, and he said it came from the Amos and Andy show. So I didn't like it at first, but it kind of grew on me when people in school and teachers started calling me the name. So it just became my thing. You know, people stopped calling me by my real name. So anywhere I go in town, there's always Kingfish.
It's right there on the front of your album.
Right.
It says Kingfish. There's no Chris Stone Ingram anywhere right there. And in fact, on the back, your name isn't there. You have to really search for
right. Your
name. Anyway, well, just watch out. You know, you have to watch out for a woman named Sapphire. So that's all I'm going to tell you right now. And this must be a heady thing for you. As a kid, because I mean, you're suddenly a professional on the road as a teenager,
right?
And you're opening for international stars, icons,
yes,
like
sir.
Buddy Guy.
Yes, sir.
You're hanging out with these folks.
Yes, sir. It's kind of weird at times, because I wasn't expecting all this early, so it can get overwhelming. But I'm staying with it.
Well, you do have kind of a humbleness about you, which is very appealing. But I can also see, you know, the respect comes through, and I can also see you enjoying getting the respect back that you must have been getting. I mean, the things people write about you are frightening. It's true. You have to live up to all of that.
Right. Yes, sir.
I mean, blistering is the adjective for your guitar playing a lot. That's amazing.
Thank you.
But you don't think about that, do you?
No, man, I just do what I love to do, and that's play, and you know, and make sure the people are happy. You know, all of that's a plus, man. All is a bonus.
And now you're writing songs.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
So, I mean, you've been on the road, and you're a kid still. I mean, you're a kid. You're always going to be a kid to me. but I mean, you're writing some very grown up songs. I mean, Love Ain't My Favorite Word is a pretty intense song.
Well, that's a true story, man.
Well, I don't doubt it, because you can't sing. You know, you hear people singing songs about heartbreak, and you realize, no.
Right.
Their heart's never been broken.
Yeah.
No. But I think we know what you're talking about, right?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Here you go. rational. It doesn't make sense. It's not rational. And it's not crazy, so it's not irrational. Yeah. It just has nothing to do with any of that. Right?
Right.
But you can sing about it, that's for sure. And that's the Kingfish just then. And that's Chris Stone Ingram, and he's with me. New album called Kingfish just came out. Just coming out this week.
Yeah, comes out Monday. I'm not Monday, but Friday.
On the Alligator, the definitive blues label for years and years. And everybody who's been great the last 40 years plays for Alligator at some point or another.
Yeah, that's the infamous joint, man, with one of my personal favorites, Magic Sam, Coco Taylor, Magic Slim, the whole nine, man. Just everyone's been a part of Alligator, man. Love it.
And Tom Hambridge produced you, who knows something about putting together records.
Oh yeah, man.
He plays drums on your record too, right?
Right. We co-wrote 8 songs together, and him and Richard Fleming, they wrote some songs together, and also he played drums and mixed it, mastered it, did the whole thing.
He produced the Buddy Guy record that I just played a little while ago. Just won the Grammy Award this last year.
Yeah, man, he has that touch, man. Most definitely.
And Keb Moe is on this record a whole bunch.
Yes, sir. He's a session player on some of the songs. It's funny because he just came to the studio and he just set up and played on the record. We didn't ask, he just played. And also, he's guesting on a song as well. Legendary blues harmonica player Billy Branch. He's on the song that was written for me by Jontavious Willis. So it was a great thing.
It's interesting listening because I was saying all these people have been writing all this stuff about, you're the next great, and then they, which is a drag sometimes when they put all that on you and you just really want to just go out there and play.
Right.
But, you were doing some things. Every once in a while, that's the great thing about music. You can't explain that either, like love, you can't explain it.
Yeah.
But it's like you were playing something before and you played this one, two-note chord and I could hear all the notes in between the two notes. And it just was a little thing, but it caught my ear.
Really?
It was like, cool. Because it's more than just playing a linear line or playing a strumming here.
Oh, yeah.
But to actually hear some sort of compositional, I don't want to even call it thickness, but there's a body to it. There's more to it than just notes.
Right. You gotta add that flavor to it, man, most definitely.
Well, one of the things that was written about you, I love this about him. He knows which are the important notes, the notes that tell the story and grab the audience, and he leaves out the extraneous ones, which is also something you don't think about when you're doing it.
Right.
I
can admit sometimes I go crazy. I can go old flashy all over the fretboard. But, if you really want to tell a story, you got to do like what Freddie and BB and Avery did. You got to build it. You just got to pick your spots. You just can't play all over the place,
Well, that's it. No. Well, you're in this place. Want to play something all over the place in this place?
Yeah, sure. I was born at the turn of the century, lucky to be born at all. I grew way down in Mississippi, and when I heard Robert Johnson call, well, I've seen a lot, and I've done a lot, too young to lay down in that old. I'm just trying to fly high and not die before I'm old.
These are rather philosophical songs for somebody who's not been that long on the planet. Did you have a moment when you realized, oh, I'm a musician?
Yeah, man, that was like, it's been recent because, like I said, this is something that I've always been wanting to do since I was 3. And I keep sounding like a broken record, but I just didn't think all this would come so fast. So, it was reason why I really had to pinch myself. I was like, man, all of this is really going on, man. This is everything you really wanted. So yeah, man.
No, you're a kid and it's play. Yeah. You are playing in the sense of what kids do.
Right.
And oh wait, you're going to give me money for this? And pick me up and take me to the gig and all that. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's an extraordinary thing, but you have to live up to that also.
Right.
So I'm sure Buddy Guy and others have pointed out that the road is not as easy as you think it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. He used to, man, he told me stories, you know, about, you know, when he left Louisiana and went to Chicago, man. He said it was hard, man. Kind of makes you think, man. It just, you know, and it, you know, and, you know, I want to share with other young people doing this, man. We, you know, it's hard for us, but we have it a little bit more, made, you know, than our, than our predecessors did, you know, so, you know.
Yeah, one of the great lessons is you play the gigs for free.
Yeah.
You get paid for the pains in the ass of the road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. Kingfish is in town, and he's going to be playing at the City Winery tonight. And he's on the road, and the new album comes out this week. But you're hearing it on WBGO. He's with me on WBGO. Tell me about being on the Luke Cage show.
Oh, man, that was cool, man. We was on our way to do a show in Jacksonville, and my mom was just, she was ranting about the show, man. And she was telling me, she said, it has all these artists on it that you like, you know, like Raphael Sadiq, you know, the Flunix, Charles Bradley, rest in peace, and Faith Evans. And I just made this joke. All I said was, you know, do you think we'll get picked up for that second season? And like two nights later, I get this message saying, you know, hey, I'm so-and-so producer of Luke Cage, the creator of the show. He kind of wrote you in the script, and yeah, we kind of got everything settled. And I recorded the music and the footage like all in the same week. And it was definitely an experience because I had never lip-synced before. You know, that's me singing and playing, but I really never did that before, so I was kind of clueless.
So you weren't literally playing live.
Nah.
You were lip-syncing.
Right. But that is me playing and singing, though. That is.
Oh, yeah, but you're lip-syncing yourself.
Right. Yeah. Which was hard, man, because, you know, I didn't know how to do it twice, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever. Right, you know.
Exactly. So all the while you're playing, is Luke Cage beating the crap out of somebody?
The first one, the first scene, he's like, he's chilling, he's walking on a bus or something. Not walking, but riding on the bus. And the second one, it's the scene everybody likes because the villain comes in and he's talking to the owner of the club. And he points to me and uses me as an example, saying, you know, that's the Talking Blues when we do the song, I Put a Spell on You. And that's really the scene everybody likes because, you know, he calls my music the Talking Blues or something like that. And, yeah, man, it was a great experience, most definitely.
Luke Cage is indestructible.
Yeah.
That's his superpower, basically. But he's a watch-out router for the neighborhood.
He really, man.
That's his gig. He's a protector.
Yep, that's the guy.
In the third season now, I would think.
Second season.
Oh, it's still second season. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, second and
Are
last
you going to
season.
Be on some more?
Well, I think they canceled the show.
Oh, that's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, I think they canceled. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, you'll do other things. Next thing you know, you'll be playing for somebody else.
Thank you.
Mostly at the moment, you're playing for yourself. Let's hear something from this album again. What is one of the favorite things that you play on here?
So my favorite thing?
Yeah.
Oh man, I really enjoy working on Outside This Town. That one Before I'm Old, the one I just got through playing. If You Love Me, I love them all. Actually, they're great.
If You Love Me is one of the ones that Kev Mo is in.
Right. He's on there, and Juntavius Willis out of Georgia. He actually wrote that as well.
Okay. Here's that. Kingfish, again, singing about love on the WBGO.
If you love me, please say that you do. If you love me, honey, say that you do. If you love me, please say that you do. If you don't, I'm through with you. If you love me, if you love me, honey, why won't you act right? If you love me, honey, why won't you act right?
Billy Branch, one of the sons of blues, is playing the harmonica on that track with Kingfish. New album called Kingfish comes out this week, and he's playing this night, tonight, at the City Winery in Manhattan, and he's with me on WBGO. You were talking about and singing about being an old soul. That's what we were saying. I was like, I think I'm going through this phase. One of the signs of age is when all your stories bump back another decade. So what happened 10 years ago happened 20 years ago, and then 30. So I'm going through the 50-year phase. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, 50 years I watched Neil Armstrong on the moon. Oh, 50 years ago I went to Woodstock. Well, 50 years ago, you weren't even born yet.
Right. No, yeah, I wasn't even thought about being born yet.
It's sort of amazing. But, you know, you grow up. And by the way, it'll go really quickly.
Oh, man. No, man, don't tell me that.
No, you know what? Nobody ever wants to hear that. But you're in the moment. That's
right.
It. Right. And you're getting to do things that some people wait a lot longer and a lot older than you are, which is a blessing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really grateful, man. You know, I'm, you know, just a Mississippi boy from the Mississippi Delta, man. I'm grateful that all this is, you know, is coming into play, man. So thank you, most definitely. Yeah.
Is there though? I was just, you know, teasing you about how you play the guitar, but you know, you play this, or do you do it that way, or do you finger it this way, and where do you put your thumb? But is there really a Clarksdale, Mississippi style of guitar?
I wouldn't say there's a style of guitar, but there's definitely a Clarksdale sound of blues. You know, you got the Jelly Roll Kings, Big Jack Johnson, Frank Frost, and Sam Carr. To me, that's like the best, you know, best of the best when it comes to that Clarksdale sound. Big Jack Johnson. You had the other guys like Johnny Billiton and Wesley Junebug Jefferson and Anthony Big A. Sherrod. A whole lot of others. So there's not a style of guitar, but there's definitely a certain sound of blues. It's not really that known, but, you know.
Can you play it and show me an example of that?
Oh, that was when Big Jack used to take Catfish Blues and play this type of version of it. A catfish swimming in the deep blue sea. I have are you good looking women fishing at the mean? And pretty much that's it, you know, like that.
But no, that's fascinating the way you get that, because you're like, again, like I was talking about those two notes I heard you playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way you put your voice together with the line.
Right, right.
And of course, there's two lines also you're playing, because there's like a bass line in there also.
Right, right, right.
So you're doing a hell of a lot musically in what people would normally think of as very simple.
Yeah, when you when you're playing by yourself, you have to be the rhythm, you have to be the lead, and you have to be the, you know, the backbeat at the same time. So, you know, that's another thing that those guys teach you as well, most definitely.
Do you listen to jazz guitar players?
Yeah, I Charlie Christen, Wes Montgomery, of course, George Benson. Man, there's a whole lot of other the Django. That's a style that I'm actually trying to get into. I'm trying to learn more, and you know, and
Django.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked B.B. King. I said, I heard that you like Django Reinhardt, and he just closed his eyes and smiled. And his face got red. It was amazing. And he just said, Django.
Yeah.
Because you don't hear Django in what BB was playing.
Right.
But nobody swung like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. When they were doing those things with those chunk, 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 chunk of rhythm things on those guitars. And he was doing it with missing two fingers.
That's what, you know what, I still don't understand that to this day, how could he be so fast and play all those, you know, incredible lines and licks like that, you know, with only, you know, with those two fingers missing. It's kind of mind-boggling, you know.
When you do your show tonight at the City Winery, you're going to basically be doing the album?
Yes, some stuff off the album and a few covers from a few friends, and that's pretty much about it, most definitely. But all covers, most definitely.
Do you You just noodle on stage ever? You just make it up as you go along sometimes?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I don't think about my solos or tab them out or anything like that. It's just all on feel, most definitely.
So I mean, if we pretend that you're on the back porch down in Clarksdale, what would you might play? Not one of your songs, but just you're just sitting there hanging out. Have you listened to Brazilian music at all?
Can't say that I have.
You have to listen to Jean Gilberto playing the guitar.
Okay.
Because he'll be playing in two different tempos, one with each hand.
Wow.
He'll be playing a line with his left hand and then a line with his right hand, and they're in two different tempos. And he's like the master of the bossa nova, the samba.
Oh, okay, you know? Okay.
And it's like, what? Is he? Yes, he is.
like pretty much, how did he do that or something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
No, but that's the whole thing of it all. Even when I was just watching you fretting here, it was like, how do you do that? Because I can't play the guitar. How do you do that and get those two notes together? How do you pick those two notes?
Yes.
Do you do it spontaneously? Well, yes. But that's just the music.
Yeah, man. Just feel, man. Just go out. I mean. Theoretically, of course, you know, there's some science behind what it, but all that, I'm still learning as well. So, but yeah, man, all for me right now is definitely feel, you know, so.
And do you go way beyond the guitar and way beyond the blues?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Like I said, you know, in the household I grew up in, you know, blues been played, but, you know, my mom had like Luther Vandross and Freddie Jackson and all of that. I'm listening to that. And my dad and my brother, they were pretty much the ones who got me, like, on hip-hop and everything like that. So I was exposed to, like, a bunch of genres. So, of course, you know, I would definitely want to add that, you know, into what I'm doing, you know, earlier, later, you know, but with all, you know, keeping that traditional flame a little bit going, you know.
Well, there really is that. There is that tradition. And the great thing is the continuum of it all.
Right. I try to do a lot, but I try not to do too much, you know, without disrespecting the genre, you know, because you can get overboard a little bit too many, and it'll sound like something else, you know.
The blues police will show up.
No,
that's
not the blues. Hate me.
No. It's when you get beyond that, and that's when you hear the real music.
Yeah.
And that's when you get inside the music. The music gets inside you.
Yeah, plus anything in this performed will, you know, always be the real thing, you know, so most definitely.
So tell me about the song Believe These Blues. That seems to be what we were just talking about.
That's a song that was written by Tom Hamridge and Richard Fleming. One of the songs from the record that I really enjoyed playing. So yeah, most definitely. That's one of my favorite ones as well.
Kingfish with me on the WBGO, and that's from the new album called Kingfish. It's new on Alligator, and I suppose one of the questions I have to ask is, you lived not that far from the crossroads.
Right.
Where Robert Johnson allegedly sold his soul.
Right.
And people are actually wondering now, you play too good for a kid. You must have sold your soul.
Nah, I didn't do any of that, man. Just practice and studying, man. That's all.
But did you ever go to that crossroads with your guitar? Do people do that, or is that like an uncool thing?
People go out there and they'll play and take pictures but you know what's funny? Like the people back home, they don't want you to know. But technically, that's not the real crossroads. Like, you got to go like all like. maybe like down to Tallahatchie County, down there like past Money, Mississippi, where the like down that way just to see the real thing. But yeah, I never really been out there. I always look at it every time I drive past it, cause it is cool though. It's cool how they have the shrine hang up and everything. It's really dope though, you know.
But people do just, you know, there it is. Is yeah, there a sign or something?
Yeah, they what they have, they just have like the guitars hanging up, and it's like in that like in that inner, it's like in that intersection, and it's got the crossroads letters on there. But yeah, they got guitars hanging up there and there, and people come there and they take pictures, and yeah, man, it's really cool. But you know, it's funny cause it's like, it's a church's chicken like right across the street from it, and it's like a busy street, you know. It's crazy, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that, he's the fountainhead, you know.
Yeah.
When you listen to those records, you hear something different.
Right.
He's playing, and he's going to keep on playing. We didn't play Listen, did we? That's a song. Does he sing with you on this?
Yeah.
Kev does. Kev Mo does. He just showed up at your gig?
Yeah, we did the Legendary Blues Cruise like a week before, and we were supposed to write. And like I said, he just showed up to the studio, man, and just clicked. And I asked him to be on that, man, and it just clicked, man. It was great.
Cool guy. Kingfish together with Keb Mo,
yeah,
guesting on the new Kingfish album. It was great having you yourself.
Oh, thank you, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
No, this is fun. And, you know, you'll be back.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have a couple of minutes. Why don't you just whip something out?
What you need, give you what you want. When you don't get your way, you get off of me. It ain't right. There ain't no way to act. I said you should be ashamed to treating me like that. First match it, babe, you purr like a kitty cat. Now I feel them claws scratching down my back. It ain't right. There ain't no way to act. I said you should be ashamed treating me like that. Now you know I love you, darling, but you gotta chill. I said I'd never leave you, but sometimes I think I will. It ain't right. There ain't no way to act. I said you should be ashamed of treating me like that.
It is right. Chris Stone, Kingfish, Ingram, and the new album. And all of you out there listening, thank you all of you who've come through during this show, because so many of you have come through and contributed to WBGO. You can contribute at WBGO.org.